The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, the one, the only, Tony Casillas. And Tony, a very, very happy Monday to you, sir.
Happy Monday to you. It's great to be able to be with us, be together today and talk about the Cowboys playing another playoff game. What a tremendous weekend, RJ.
Oh, you're right. The Dallas Cowboys hosted the Seattle Seahawks in the wild card round on Saturday night. And they got that win, 24-22, the first playoff win of the Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott era. And thanks to what happened on Sunday with the Philadelphia Eagles and Chicago Bears, we now know that the Cowboys are headed to Hollywood, Tony. They're headed to La La Land to take on the Rams. I mean, there's a lot to digest here. I guess I'm really interested to hear on this fabulous Monday, what are your thoughts? This is crazy that we're talking about the Cowboys, one of the final eight teams left.
It is a tremendous opportunity. I mean, to go back and look at the season and what they've gone through and how they've gotten here, it's just amazing. And, you know, to think that they're advancing to another playoff game, going, as you mentioned, going out to Hollywood and playing the Rams, it's just one of those seasons that you just can't script. I mean, it couldn't have gone any better. I mean, the whole scenario is what they needed to do and not do to be able to continue this wave of opportunities. It's been a tremendous, and what happened yesterday was pretty wacky itself, watching games. And I just know, as a former player, having to either scoreboard watch or watching a game where you're going to be, whether you're going to be in New Orleans or out in L.A., what a suspense. And I mean, what a remarkable season for Dallas.
You know, it really is. I mean, it's just surreal. It's crazy. And it's going to be a crazy week. And to kind of set everybody else up with our schedule, we're here today to just kind of set the moods. We got to set the table. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, dinner's coming, Tony. Go set the table. So that's what we're doing. Later on this week, we'll get deeper into what the Los Angeles Rams present for the Cowboys. But this win, I don't know if it's the best. It's really hard to top the 2014 wildcard win over the Lions, because that was kind of breaking through for the first time. But I'm at a place where I'm almost ready to say that this was the greatest win. It's certainly of the Dak and Zeke era, but of the Jason Garrett era as a whole.
I gotta agree with you on that, because you know, you look at you know, the length of his career here as a coach here, and you look at some of the years are either underachieved or, you know, overachieved. There hasn't been too much of it. Hasn't been really the middle of the road. But I think when you look back in this season, and again, all the adversity as a coach and as players, and having to go through all the negativity, and just be able to build your team back up. I mean, you know, catapulting over a point in the season where you're 3-5, and then all of a sudden you just rifle through your schedule and just kind of, you know, keeping them focused. I mean, that really takes a really great leader to be able to keep them focused, to believe in one another, and whatever his delivery is in that locker room. Because, I've experienced the good times and the bad times, and certainly the circumstances that were kind of laid out for this team this year, It could have gone really, really south bad. And yet, you know, Jason Garrett was able to keep the ship together, right the ship, and get his team to a second playoff game. I would agree with you. This has got to be one of his probably top two seasons as a head coach for the Cowboys.
You know, what was so interesting was on Saturday as a whole was before the Cowboys even kicked off, the Indianapolis Colts won in the wild card round as well. Shout out to your buddy, Matt Eberflus, getting head coach looks and interviews. We'll see what
That's
happens
tremendous.
With him.
There's a lot of great storylines this year.
Seriously, but
whether it's something linked to the Cowboys or whatever, it's just right. A lot of good things happening.
But the way that the Colts flex their muscle over the Texans, I think Cowboys fans, as they were getting ready for the Saturday night game, were saying, "Man, this is the one team that we lost to." I mean, you know, in this whole stretch, and I know we talked about it then. This isn't about that game, but you know, the Cowboys went to Indianapolis, kind of. You know, I think if we're being honest, like coming off a nap, you know what I mean? That they had just played a really emotional game. They knew they had a lot of chances to clinch the division. The Colts were the hungrier dog in that fight. So everything kind of set up for the Colts to be the more desperate team. And on top of that, they happen to be this incredibly good team. So that, you know, of their last 9 games, that's the one game that they've lost, which is really just incredible. When, you know, you said it, when you start back where they were at 3-5, you know, everybody saw this. I know you were at the game. You were posting great photos and stuff, but everybody saw this on the broadcast. I know you saw it. The still shot of Jason Garrett with Allen Hurns, and I think it goes without saying, all of our thoughts and prayers and well wishes are with Allen to get better as soon as he can. But the shot of Jason Garrett holding his hand, I thought was so emblematic of who Jason Garrett is with the Cowboys. I mean, he will fight for them, and he cares for them, and he loves them. And he's not afraid to wear his heart on his sleeve like that. No matter what happens, no matter what anybody says, if he's a clap or whatever, those are his guys, and he goes to bat for them. I mean, you tell me if you were a player, if that would not be a very powerful thing.
I think that it shows the camaraderie of the team. It shows, and again, you're right, both of us were at the game, and if you were at the game and you witnessed that, I mean, obviously, doesn't it show the replay of the video, which was, you know, the injury, which is horrific. I was actually, people like were texting me the video, and I'm like, I don't even, seeing it once is enough. It was just one of those unbelievable bad injuries, and just seeing the camaraderie, not only of Jason Garrett and his team, but the other team, Seattle, they all come together
for real
as one unit. And you just kind of could feel the emotion. And I tell you what really got me is when they had him on the stretcher and all you could see is a tear going down his eye. I'm like, wow, that's the real thing about this game that you know, we play and we love, but the human aspect of it is, as you mentioned, someone like Jason Garrett, who really, really, he's not afraid to show his vulnerability. I think sometimes we kind of, you know, poke at it, but still, I mean, that's him. And I think that's a great way to describe him, his vulnerability with his players, and not afraid to put that out there, because you know how some coaches are. They've got this strong bravado where they don't want to show their emotion, but you know, sometimes it comes out, and I played with coaches that will fight against that, but it's really kind of hard to fight the emotion when something like that happens to one of your, not only your brothers, but one of your family members, and to see how they handle that. And I've never been in a venue that was that quiet.
I agree. I mean, in back-to-back home games for the Cowboys, they've kind of had the energy sucked out because of something unfortunate like that, with Tyrone Crawford against the Buccaneers and Allen Hurns against the Seahawks. You know, Byron Jones said after the game, and if you're listening and you want to hear that, you can go back in the Blog on the Boys podcast feed and listen to the Sounds from the Locker Room episode of Ocho Live and hear Byron, you know, talking about Jason Garrett. And I know this isn't what Byron said, but I know that there are some coaches that are like your friend, and some that are like your brother, and some that are like your grandpa. I mean, just different relationships and different age gaps. And Byron Jones, you know, said that Jason Garrett is like a father figure to a lot of them, because, you know, he said that you spend so much time together on a football team and in everything that you do. And he said that, you know, it's very valuable to them that he cares for them that way. And to see, you know, Garrett go out and do that with Allen Hurns, you know, I think, you know, a lot of guys maybe would have just stood there, but that he, you know, the guy held his hand on national television for the whole world to see, didn't care, you're right, was completely vulnerable. It's the perfect word. I think that says so much about who he is. I tweeted this after, you know, you've seen it, after the game, or the run out, when the players run out of the tunnel. He turned around and was like beaming with just pride, you know, and it sounds lame and it sounds cliche, but I mean, he really does care for them. You know, I think the biggest takeaway from the game, though, is as much as Jason Garrett, he is their leader, I think, in the coaching realm, but their unquestioned leader in the foxhole is Dak Prescott. And that is, you know,
without a doubt.
We talked about a few weeks ago what Darren Woodson said, and not to get into that and what he said about Tony Romo, but what he said about Dak Prescott was spot on. They believe in him no matter what. He is their guy, and we saw why they believe that.
And I think the biggest part of that is that he believes in himself. He believes that regardless of how bad the circumstances may be, how bad you throw a pick or a bad play, that, you know, keep the game close, my defense will keep me in it, and I'm going to make a play for us. And we saw that, you know, the third and long right there at the end zone when he was able to convert for a first down, did the cartwheel, it almost would look like a would-be touchdown. But just the fact that his way, he wills his way to make plays. And I kind of disagree with what to go back to what Darren Woodson said, but I get it. But I think he leads in a different way. But just the way he just really just the plays that he needed to make. I thought the Michael Gallup, the throw he made in the end zone, the fade route, was he couldn't put that ball any better in a better place than that. I mean, it's a tremendous catch, but that's just what he does. And again, you know, as a player and knowing that you have someone out there, they're thinking, we're going to win this because the guy out there, number four, is going to find a way to win and he's going to make the play. And I think the more and more you continue to do that, again, going back to the Giants game, I thought that was a huge opportunity to build your momentum and build, you know, just kind of go through all the phases as a quarterback has to grow. But again, when you have someone out there that you know that is going to give you the opportunity to win, it's like keep grinding, keep grinding. It's fourth quarter. You know, look, we got this much time, and number four is going to find a way. And that's what it's who you believe in. And I think that's where that comes from. The players have that much confidence in him. And I know his coach has it. And I think that's kind of been that's going to be the whole narrative going continuing these playoffs. You know, how well is number four going to play?
I agree with you completely. And I agree that the Giants game, you know, that throw to Michael Gallup was just an absolute dime. And who knows? I mean, you know, maybe the Giants game did give Dak this level of confidence. Like, I can make that throw. I mean, who knows? And
hey, not to toot my own horn, but I did say that Michael Gallup was going to be these guys that you didn't. But no, I didn't know that we were going to have that terrible injury with Allen Hurns. But again, those guys making contributions all over the place.
Well, it was a total just team effort. I mean, Amari Cooper had the big conversion. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott was amazing. You know, defensively, the Cowboys were just animals.
Antoine Woods,
Malik Collins.
I love the guy. He, you know, Antoine Woods reminds me of those guys. You know, he's kind of he looks like a teddy bear. He's kind of built like one. He's kind of one of those guys you just want to go up and pinch his cheek, you know, like the old grandma used to do. But, I mean, guys, just making plays and believing and having fun. That's the thing about playoff football. Just go out there. You know, the energy is going to be elevated, but you can't really change anything. Just go out there and ball. And those guys are just going out there and balling, you know, week after week.
I think you're right, and I think you need those, for lack of a better word, personalities you know, on your team, because everybody brings something different. Everybody, you know,
absolutely.
So somebody can lighten the mood or whatever.
All meshes together.
Yeah,
they're having fun and they're making big plays and they're laughing at each other, crying with each other. So it just makes a tremendous fit.
It's you know, for you guys, I think not the same way, but it reminds me of Kenny the Shark. You know what I mean? Like it was silly, but you know what I mean. Like in its own way, it hyped you guys up and whatever.
Different, yeah, you're right. It's a good part. You know, everyone had their own little snick, you know, and it was just interesting to see all these personalities start to come out.
You know, this team has something very, very dangerous, I think, in the playoffs, and that's they believe in themselves. You know, they really believe that they can do anything, and I think that that's dangerous. I would be scared of that. I'm scared of that. You know, I'm scared of the Philadelphia Eagles for that reason, because I really believe that they believe when Nick Foles is back there, they can do anything, and I don't know that that's necessarily false. But that is a matter that we might have to worry about a week from now if things shake out a certain way. What we know now is that the Cowboys, as we mentioned, will be heading to Hollywood to take on the Rams. We'll get into this later this week, but your sort of preliminary thoughts, Tony. I think that a lot of people had this take of, well, I'd rather go to Los Angeles, and I think we match up better with the Rams, and the home crowd will be crazy. They still might have to play the Saints. You know what I mean? Like it's not like they're
the road's going through that place one time or another. Just depends on who it's going to be.
Exactly. So
if they win,
but this game specifically, I think this is an early sort of bold prediction. This is going to be the biggest game that Los Angeles has ever seen from a football perspective. You've got the Rams, who the city has kind of started to really, you know, take in a little bit. You've got the Cowboys coming to town. The Lakers don't play on Saturday, which means that LeBron might be there. Who knows how many celebrities are going to be there. This is the NFL's fever dream. And on top of that, you've got the hot young coach in Sean McVay, who can tell you everybody that plays for the Cowboys. And then you've got Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott coming in and kind of defying a lot of odds. I mean, it's tasty. I feel like I just ordered the filet mignon and it's going to be here on Saturday.
Yeah, and you got to be patient before you eat the whole meal because it's a long week. But look, I think it's got a lot of great, a lot of juice to this whole, you know, matchup. But, you know, going, I think the biggest thing for Dallas, and when you look at the Rams, all these teams that were trending really, really high, these high-powered offenses early in the season, you know, the Rams have kind of, I don't know, have kind of slowed down somewhat. I mean, I know they had a week to rest, and, you know, I know Todd Gurley's been dealing with an injury, so I don't know what his availability is going to be. But, you know, I really believe in the momentum. And, you know, the Rams is going to be a tough hurdle for them, no doubt about it. But I think there's a lot to be said about going on the road and maybe there's 50-50 fans and you're going to a place, a venue that it's not like you're going on the road and playing San Francisco or New Orleans where you know it's going to be dominated by, you know, home fans. Mm-hmm. But again, I think they match up because – I like Aaron Donald, you got to deal with him, but our defense gives a chance to create a lot of disruption. And, you know, that's the thing about it. And you got Jared Goff, you got some unknowns on their team, just like you do maybe on the Cowboys. But the Cowboys have already played a game, really two playoff games, the way that they played. You know, obviously the Giants game was out a lot of starters. But the point is, I think they match up well. And once you get into a playoff situation, you start making big plays and you create opportunities. Again, you know, go back to the Eagles game. Look at the three teams that are left. You got the 1-5 at one time, the Colts. Yeah. You got the Cowboys, the 3-5, and now you got the Eagles. I mean, it's just crazy how these teams, again, we talk about December, then we talk about January. We talk about, and look, you cannot overemphasize this. If you're peaking at that time, that's kind of like a pitcher. You know, if a pitcher's on a roll, he's got all his stuff going. He's got all his, you know, his sliders, his whatever his pitch is. If he's on a roll and he's got it, and you can't hit him. I mean, that's just the timing of it. Sometimes you got it and sometimes you don't.
You know, it's people say so often, you don't win the Super Bowl in October. You know, you don't win in November. And it is kind of crazy that we're sitting here and a reality is that the Cowboys will play the Rams, who everybody crowned as kings, 6 months ago. I don't think that we've seen the Rams really be, you know, that Monday night game against the Chiefs was amazing and they really haven't been the same team and football happens, you know, injuries happen, guys, you know, get slowed, guys, whatever. I mean, I think the biggest X factor you mentioned is going to be Jared Goff and, you know, the Cowboys still might have to play the Saints and we'll see what happens. They might play the Eagles, who knows, if they win. But I think without question right now, if I had to play one of the three quarterbacks, I would want to play Jared Goff. He's the one I'm least afraid of at this particular moment.
Maybe I wouldn't have said that early on in the season, but now that this thing is kind of just unfolded and you got a lot of film on him, I don't think any quarterback, look at Russell Wilson. I mean, that's a great example. Look, if you can, and look, the, you know, Sean McVay, their offense is built totally different. But if you look at what the Cowboys did to their running game defensively, they shut it down, they stifled it. You know, the Seahawks said they were going to live and die. Well, the Cowboys killed their hopes on that, on running the ball. So it's the same thing with Sean McVay. And, you know, Jared Goff, you know, and they run the football very well. But I know that offensively, I think the matchups, and we'll get into this later in the week, I do like the matchups against the defensive line versus their offensive line. I think there's a lot of opportunities for them. And it depends on how big his eyes get in a playoff game. You know, his eyes get huge and he's like, wow, this is a big environment. And, you know, there's a lot more pressure. Then, yeah, I think I kind of buy that notion that I think the Cowboys have an edge when it comes to that.
We did see them fold a bit last year in the wild card, against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll see what happens on Saturday night. You mentioned it. We'll get into Cowboys-Rams later this week. For now, we know, though, Tony, that there is still life in this season. Cowboys-Rams, Saturday night on Fox. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back later this week, as we said, to get into this because the whole world depends on it, basically. It's the biggest game in quite some time. So, Tony, I'll see you later this week. And, you know, go Cowboys. You know what I mean?
Go Cowboys. It's a great Monday. Hope everyone has a tremendous week. And can't wait to talk to you next time, brother.
This was the 750.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
And we're back for season 3, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.